this. Okay. So I can talk, I don't just sing. I actually have an accent, so. And it is me as well. I know I'm wearing a shirt, it's a bit weird for me today, but the boss says so. So Jeremy decided to get me to speak. Oh, I'll let Chris speak, why not? Oh, that'd be wonderful. So, that's a terrible accent, probably. It isn't right, okay. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. It could be the worst decision he's made. But anyway, and before I start, Jeremy has the most exciting life, and I don't know how he gets himself into all sorts of situations. I mean, he mostly, you know, lives around the square one anyway, so, but he seems to find these amazing stories, like last week and the bike. It was quite funny. But anyway, let's turn to Mark 2:13 to 17. I'm going to read from NLT version. It's just easier for me. I like the words in a bit more simplified. 13, then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciples. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." So I'm just going to read 13 and 14 again, because I'm kind of going to focus a little bit more on that. But then Jesus went out to the lake shore again. So he's obviously, you know, been out there again. He's obviously taught there before. The crowds obviously came towards him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So that's the only thing he said to him. So Levi got up and he followed him straight away. Just like that, he just got up and followed this man he's never met in his entire life. And so just reading that passage, you're just wondering, you know, what was it that attracted, you know, Levi to Jesus? What was it that just, you know, he just got up, left? He obviously had a father as well, it says in that passage. So he obviously had a family, and he just got up and followed this man. You know, it could be the way Jesus spoke to him, or maybe how he said it. Maybe Jesus looked trustworthy, or because maybe he was at the lake shore before, maybe Levi heard something that he liked, that Jesus, what Jesus said, maybe. I don't know about you, but I certainly wouldn't be following some random person. He just said, "Come and follow me and my merry men." It would be scary, it'd be out of the ordinary, you know, be out of my comfort zone, leaving my very comfortable life, which I like, security. You know, especially for a tax collector as well, probably quite wealthy, had a nice little house, probably on a hill with a swimming pool. I got a bonsai tree for my birthday last week, so maybe a little bonsai tree. Yeah, he just felt very comfortable in his lifestyle and his surroundings, so unusual for him to just up and at him and follow this man. You know, it could be that in 15 it just says, you know, Jesus had followers that were very like Levi. So you have Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector as well, so obviously similar people. So maybe Levi kind of thought, okay, all these guys are following Jesus, so, you know, I can get on with these guys, you know, I can have a bit of banter with them. For me, I think reading this, it definitely spells out faith. I think faith is the one thing that Levi had. He had faith in Jesus, a man that he never met, and hanging out with people of Levi's kind and seeing him obviously as a good man as well, just drew out this faith in Levi. And I think the Holy Spirit touched him there and then, and he just knew this was the right thing to do, to go and follow this man, trust in him, and put his life in his hands. And as we read on, we're taken into a dinner party and what seems to be a very kind of uncomfortable conversation with the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees wouldn't have been at this dinner. This probably happened afterwards. But I'll just read 15. It says, later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of his kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. So it's interesting about the Pharisees. They're always about the laws and the rules. And, you know, that's fine. But I think, you know, they do get a little bit of a bad press, those chaps. But, you know, they weren't bad people as per se, but they did follow things like black and white, and whatever they read, that was it. And I think they might have written a few laws themselves. That might be theologically incorrect, but anyway. And I think it was just kind of that's that, nothing else. You need to go down this route, and that's what they kind of had said. And I think because of that, actually, they had a lot less grace for people. They didn't pour out that much grace. Because they were so down the line, they were so focused on their laws and their rules, and actually it produced more judgment as well. So, and I think actually it probably produced more judgment on themselves as well. I'd say they judged themselves a lot more. They just couldn't see past their own knowledge. Their knowledge was blinding them from what Jesus was there to do. So how much do we put our trust and our faith in Jesus? I know I find it incredibly difficult to do that, even though God has been faithful through, you know, my whole life. We still find it really tough to trust in him and to have faith in him. We've got a little plaque in our house that says, you know, God is faithful. It's right by our sink, just to kind of have that reminder, because it needs to be had like every single day, just to keep looking at that and be reminded of God's faithfulness. And I gave up a job down the road, St. Sepulchre's, I had obviously the part-time job here, but I had nothing to kind of go to, you know, after that. We felt that it was the right thing to do. It was a bit of a leap of faith, I felt, you know, in my heart that was the right thing to do. It was probably a little bit irresponsible not having something to go to, you know, afterwards. You know, me and my wife need to pay bills and rent, and London is very expensive, and our parents are both like paupers more than we are, so they wouldn't bail us out of anything either, so we'd be stuck if I couldn't find another job. But it just felt like the right thing to do, and a week later, or give or take, HDB, Ben Cantillon, called and asked if I'd like to join the team part-time. And so just from the get-go, we just kind of knew, right, God's going to be with us in this decision, and he was, and he was faithful. Now, some people make... where am I? Am I doing the right thing? No, I'm not. Oh, sorry. So, in that decision, you know, I'm in a very comfortable position. So to take that leap, it feels like a leap of faith. It actually can be really difficult. And it's something that Levi had to do, but he had faith to do that. You know, we live in very comfortable lives, in our cushy jobs, and, you know, we just don't take risks. We don't explore the risks because, you know, we're too fearful of what's next. We're too fearful. We can't see it, you know, in our own knowledge, you know, like the Pharisees. We can't see, you know, what's in front of us. And, you know, Levi didn't know what was before him, but something in his heart just told him that he needed to follow this man, and he needed to go with it and have faith, just with the knowledge that this man that he's going to follow is going to take him to where he needs to go. In John 20:29, Jesus said, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." So the Pharisees may have seen Jesus physically, but Levi saw Jesus' spirit. Levi saw something that was unseen, and the only way to trust in it was faith, something that the Pharisees missed because they were so focused on sticking to what they knew in their own understanding. You know, so sometimes we make decisions and they don't work out, and, you know, we always think the grass may be greener, and the grass ends up not being greener. And I don't know the answer, you know, to that, and it's probably a longer talk and probably a different passage, but what I do know is that, you know, whatever the enemy means for evil, he loves, you know, he loves sucking us dry of our faith and of our joy and of our enthusiasm for life. But what the enemy means for evil, actually God does turn that, you know, for his good, for his glory as well. And I think that's always something to keep reminding. And actually, I was thinking on the way in here, we're going through some real family difficulties, and it's been quite a tough year. But my mum sent me a text or whatever, and I was just thinking of this passage. Actually, you know, Levi made a choice to follow Jesus, and I don't know where what time this would have been in the Bible, but you know, 2-3 years down the line, then Jesus, you know, will die. And to Levi's understanding, he probably, you know, wouldn't realize that he's going to come back to life, but those 3 days must have been like devastating, him giving up his whole life, you know, to for this man and following this man, and this man ends up dying. Do you know what I mean? And I think that sometimes in our decisions we can make those choices and feel like, oh my goodness, what's happened? It's just gone a bit of a wreck. But you know, Jesus returned, you know, Jesus came back to life 3 days later, and we celebrate in that, and we celebrate in the goodness that God has over evil, over what the enemy might have planned. Actually, God has it for, you know, our good, his good. Now, I'm not saying quit your jobs or anything like that. That's just an example from my own life. But there's decisions that we've all had to make and will make, and we just need to have faith in God, trust in him. Just pray that he is with us and that he goes before us.